welcome to the Nature Garden Podcast with me, Carl Steinson, and the Weekending Show team from Lionheart Radio. On today's show, we're reflecting on a year where so much has happened. Tom Pattinson is looking back through the seasons and successes in the garden. Tom Cadwallader's reflecting on some amazing birding highs and lows. And Steve Lowe's still in the Christmas spirit, thinking about gifts we can give at any time to help ourselves and the planet in 2022. All coming up on the Nature Garden Podcast. It's been quite a year where gardening, wildlife and the environment seem to have moved so much closer to our hearts and minds. It's been a year when one of our correspondents has actually become a bit of a star on national media, and I'm not surprised, Tom Cadwallader. So, in this old year, new year resolution type show, let's begin with Tom Pattinson's report on how gardening has gone this year.
I think it's customary worldwide at the end of a calendar year to reflect on what has passed. The good points, the bad points. If you got something wrong, try and learn from that situation, put it right in future. Celebrate all those highlights of the year, the things that went well. It's no different in gardening. We gardeners at this time of year tend to think about the crops, about the weather we've suffered or enjoyed, how different crops have gone, the vegetables, the fruit and the ornamental crops, not to mention the greenhouse. And of course there's all the wildlife around the garden. So I've been doing a bit of reflecting over this past year. Well, frankly, I lumped the past 2 years together because we've missed out on our freedom, really, and been confined to our gardens through no fault of our own. This pandemic, which continues at the time of my saying this, I've been thinking about how precious the garden has been to me. And as far as the year is concerned, well, not doing too badly. It's been a lifeline, of course, having this garden to relax in, grow a few crops, a few grow your own vegetables, fruit, and so on. It's also been difficult at times. The spring was slow to come. It was cold, long cold period. I think probably some of the birds suffered because of it. I know that nesting in the garden, I have blackbirds, thrush, robin, dunnock, and that sort of thing around about, even the nesting boxes with the blue tits or the cold tits in, whichever gets in there first. Sometimes the great tit manages to squeeze in first. In fact, we had some hedge tree sparrows in as well for a couple of years. They have managed to survive. I think they were slow in starting, though. Not sure how their numbers went at the beginning of the year. It was a cold spring. I look forward to planting my first early potatoes around the Easter period, late March, early April, whichever area it falls in. Get them planted, say Good Friday, and about 2 to 3 weeks later, I expect them to be showing above the surface, putting them in normal planting depth. They took about 5 weeks to come up. That's just a reflection of how cold it was at that time. Never mind, they grew and we had a good crop from them. So pleased with that. Going into the summer bit, the highlight for me, it was really hot and dry at times. We had the watering can out, sometimes the hose, because some of the vegetables were really flagging. But we saw that off as well and had some decent vegetables from it. And the highlight for me were those fruit crops, the soft fruits, the raspberries, the blackberries, and the cultivated blackberry bramble with no thorns on. They were good too. And the red currants, black currants, gooseberries, they were good. And then we came to the pears outside, the conference pear, some decent fruits on that. Apples were outshining, outshone the rest completely. Their apples were magnificent, and we're still enjoying them as we go into another new calendar year. They're in the store, in the garage. It's quite solid. Braeburn, the edible, the dessert type, it is really sound, and we're enjoying that one. And of course, the Bramley seedling, along with one or two other cooking culinary apples, they're still good. So we moved on to winter, and I'm looking out the window. It's raining at the moment, unfortunately, and pretty cool out there. It's about 3 degrees Celsius, which isn't brilliant, but the leeks are as hardy as anything. There's some super sprouts out there. We've been enjoying those. Are the two mainstays. And I tried to try a different plant or two each year. And this year it was a red Brussels sprout called Red Ball. Looked good on the plate and tasted good too. So wrapping this up, the thoughts on the year, not a bad year at all. And we even rounded it off with some early potatoes grown in pots in the unheated greenhouse. For Christmas lunch, we had Charlotte, first early potatoes. They were magnificent.
And in our reflective 2021 into 2022 programme, Tom Cadwallader is having a glass half-full moment as he reflects on some of the birding events that have happened. It's not all sweetness and light. His report contains the good and the bad and the downright ugly, but he's still positive. Well, isn't he always? Over to you, Tom.
Once we've got the winter solstice out of the way, I always feel a little bit more cheered up because I know not far around the corner, the days are coming with longer daylight hours in them, and these dark sort of long dark nights are kind of receding. But actually, you know, we're running into the end of 2021 into the beginning of 2022, and you've got a chance now to kind of sit back, and I'm kind of reflecting upon kind of the ornithological year. Yeah, it's been a kind of crazy old year generally, we know that. But ornithologically speaking, it's been quite a mixed bag year as well. There's been some quite depressing news coming out this year. And none more so than the kind of publication of the Birds of Conservation Concern. You know, this is the red data book of birds and wildlife generally, but birds particularly. And the bad news is we've actually gone up from 67 species of birds, which was in the last publication, which was about 3 years ago, to this most recently, we've gone up to 70 species. And species on there, we're talking about sort of puffin has just recently joined, and that we're quite concerned about the populations and the population relative to impact from climate change. So that is really quite concerning. But now we've got a broad range of species. Earlier on, we had sort of just quite a narrow sort of selection of birds. But now we've got woodland birds, we've got farmland birds, we've got seabirds, we've got coastal birds. And there's all sorts of species on there which really are of some concern. We see changes in population. Although we do see kind of increases in other birds, but the general direction of travel is not very good at all. And so that's kind of depressing. But there are some sort of highlights. You know, we have had some kind of sort of good news, is like the species I've worked on for quite a number of years, and that's the rosy tern. In 2021 was the best year since 1970 in terms of breeding pairs, which is fantastic, and that should be celebrated. And that's here in Northumberland on Coquet Island, and the lads and lasses who are part of the team on Coquet should be congratulated, because we ended up with 150 pairs, which is phenomenal, really, when you think about it. Great teamwork out there by the RSPB folks, and it's really good value. So there are some highlights, and we're seeing populations of little egret growing and one or two other species colonising. Goldeneye, for example, a duck species, and little egrets numbers are kind of growing as well. So we are seeing some changes. But there are other kind of negative values around, and we're seeing sort of, the razorbills and guillemots earlier in the autumn and back of the summer. There was big numbers that have been close in. We still don't know what the cause of their problems are, you know. We think it's some algal bloom which has been caused by climate change. But we don't know the answer. But as the air kind of draws to an end, we're hearing quite sort of staggering and worryingly sort of staggering sort of reports of avian influenza kicking in. Something like 5,000 barnacle geese have been found dead on the Solway, on the west coast. A few in on the east coast here. And I'm just reading a report about this big die-off of common cranes in a wintering area in Israel as a result of avian influenza. And that's a real big worry. And again, we haven't an answer to it. You know, we haven't got an answer at all. So, yeah, there's some real worrying sort of situations going on here. But we do see some glimmers of hope. You know, the rewilding projects that are going on. And I witnessed one this spring, the spring of 2021. I went out to Kielder to do some survey work, bird survey work at Kielder Wildwood. And I was so encouraged by the way the attitude of the kind of the workers out there. They're doing some great work by putting in native species, trying to recreate habitat, making it more suitable for birds to recolonize and make the populations much more robust, simply by putting in place kind of much more wildlife friendly sort of environments. And that sort of idea is spreading right across the country. I'm not so keen on the naming of rewilding. It's a bit jingoistic, but actually the principle of it is fabulous, really. I'm really quite impressed by the whole thing. But yeah, so there are some glimmers going on there. There's some really good news, you know. I'm really quite pleased with all of that. But you kind of think forward into 2022. And what's 2022 going to bring for us? Well, I hope we see some kind of increased productivity in terms of the rosy turns on Coquet Island again. I hope that goes from strength to strength. I hope our breeding populations of seabirds will actually buck the trends and become much more robust again and become much more successful. You know, the little terns deserve a greater kind of productivity, greater kind of success rate than they've had of late. But yes, it's the endeavours of kind of volunteers, the endeavours of the kind of paid staff of the conservation organisations, you know, they deserve success. Again, we see the rewilding programmes increase and roll out. And we see some benefit being brought by agri-environment schemes where farmers are encouraged to do more on their land to encourage wildlife. And that's got to be a way forward, surely. And also the BTO, the British Trust for Ornithology, they've got this great program of youth ambassadors coming in, and they're trying to get the young folks involved in enjoying birds, wildlife in generally, and birds in particular. And that's got to be good, you know. The more people we get involved in wildlife recording and wildlife appreciation, it's got to be good. It's got to be good. So I'm kind of encouraged by all of that. So there are some good things going on as well as the kind of the negative things as well. So here's to 2022. Here's to bird watching in 2022. On New Year's Day, I shall be out looking for birds, and my new list, my 2022 list, gets off to a cracker, I hope, and more power to the elbow. Get out there and enjoy wildlife, folks. It's on our doorsteps. Enjoy it. Rejoice in it. and celebrate it. Fantastic. Here's to 2022. All the best and Happy New Year.
This is the Nature Garden Podcast with Carl Steinson, Tom Pattinson, Tom Cadwallander and Steve Lowe.
Looking at the window, everything was white. Cold air was sapping through my vein. I was deep in Canada snow. Minus 20 when I got here, 4-6 months or more. Someone said you better get used to it. Deep in the Canada snow, deep in the Canada snow. Five jumpers out to walk into town, two hats and a thermal coat. I was slipping and sliding around, deep in the Canada snow. They say that our stories similar to the corner book folk. They couldn't understand a word I said, deep in the Canada snow, deep in the Canada snow. If you go to Newfoundland, you better beware. We have two lucky magpies, and they have great with grizzly bears. And that's the women at the Royal Legion. Was a swell place to be. Bob and me in grand hospitality. Deep in the Canada snow. Deep in the Canada snow. Surrounded by hillside and snowdrifts galore, there's a great community deep in the Canada snow, deep in the Canada snow, deep in the Canada snow, deep in the Canada snow.
Canada Snow by Shipcoat and Friends. Tom's looking ahead to the gardening year and how to make things better. Here's Tom with a few positive and inspiring resolutions.
Well, on the threshold of a new calendar year, we have to make, we gardeners, as everyone else does, some resolutions. Things we're going to get right in the coming year. Amongst mine is those mistakes. Occasionally, you really can't help it. It's just something that happens when you're growing a crop. You forget to water or you fail to water for some reason or another. And because of that, some of the plants collapse. Keep on top of that. Also, out in the garden, a typical example is the arrival of cabbage white butterflies on the wing. I grow quite a few brassicas, cabbages, Brussels sprouts, purple sprouting broccoli, you name it. Some in summer, but mainly in winter. But in the summer crop, if a cabbage white butterfly gets a chance to lay the eggs on the underside of the leaf, the whole lot of leaves can be decimated very quickly by the resultant caterpillars. Cut that out. This year, I was a bit slow in putting up this fine mesh netting I've got to keep them out. Next year, it's going up even before they make an appearance. Things of that nature. Just little mistakes that are part of gardening, I guess, on the way to success. But cut out those simple mistakes. Next year also, or this coming year, I feel that I've got to be a little bit more decisive on occasions. You know, this procrastination is a thief of time. It applies to gardening as well. Can't make your mind up which variety to have. Go for it. This year, with the Brussels sprouts, we're eating them at present. There's a red Brussels sprout out called Red Ball. And I try to put a few new varieties every year just to try them out, see if they're as good as those outstanding, which have served me so well. And that was quite a good one, actually. It looks good on the plate, the red, right to the core. And of course, it was tasty. It was a Brussels sprout. So that sort of thing. Be fairly definite when you're deciding things. And if you procrastinate too much over whether you should buy, say, an apple tree and you have room for it, self-fertile, look at the cost and you're, oh my goodness, that's too expensive. Just think of how many years you're going to have that apple tree and possibly outlive you. So go for it. What else have I got on this list of mine? Well, seeds, of course, and packets of seeds. Every year, I'm sure you're the same, you go to the drawer at the end of the year when you've done all your growing vegetables, flowers, and you find a lot of packets of seed that you haven't had a chance to sow. Well, don't order so many. Order your basics. That's what I'm doing this year. I tend to get too many, and I get lots of coming in freebies on magazines that are sent here. So I've just got to share them out with the Garden Club members, but that just go steady on buying the packets of seeds. Less of the impulse buying, which you never get sown. Can't sow them all. There's just a limited amount of space in the garden, for goodness sake. The other big thing for me is the no-dig policy. It's not a new idea. This is your vegetable bed. You don't dig and disturb the soil just beneath the surface. You keep putting layers of manure on, mulch and other organic material, and it builds up over time. You don't disturb the worms and the population of invertebrates beneath soil level. It came out around this. Well, I remember it being, when I was a young gardener in the 1970s, it was a very popular method. No dig. Don't dig your vegetable garden. And it seems to have been lost for a while. And suddenly, it's like gardening. What goes round comes round. There's a phase now for no dig. And it's no bad thing. We're doing this with our vegetable, island vegetable beds, and we've been doing it for a few years now, and it works well for us. Besides, you don't have to dig as much. It's not so... use your energy on other parts of the garden if you know digging. On the vegetable plots, that is. The other big thing I'm promising myself for this coming year, keep out the plastics as much as possible, keep out the pesticides, and keep out the peat. Three P's. We don't need them. They're being threatened in the environment. The plastics are causing the threat. The pesticides will threaten you, and they pose a threat for any living thing that comes through your garden. They've been banned here for a few years. And of course, peat. It's not a renewable resource, not in a hurry anyway. So they're trying to cut it out in the garden centres. The government wants to have it cut out, and most people do, I think, but it's still there, so gardeners buy it. The other little thing is moss, of course. We have it in the garden, moss in the lawns. I don't mind. The birds feed, find food in there. Different types of food come from it. And, of course, it's used for hanging baskets. We use it to top off the pots of indoor forced bulbs at the moment. Looks gorgeous to have a level of peat. I just get it from the garden. Watch the moss use as well. Okay, if it's in your own garden. The other big thing for me, and this is the final thing at the moment, I don't want to give myself too much pressure in making too many promises, but I'm going to keep doing the podcasts for the Nature Garden, of course, and for this program. I'm still going to keep the weekly newspaper articles going. And this past year, I've made one or two short videos, 3 to 5 minute videos. And I've used one or two with the Garden Club, and this seemed to go down quite well, covering a variety of subjects. So I'm going to do more of those in the coming year.
Steve Lowe from the Northumberland Rivers Trust has been considering some gifts for Christmas, which could actually stand you in very good stead for the new year. Giving your time could be a genius thing to do.
If anyone's looking for ideas, then you might actually like this little book that I found the other day called The Soaring Life of the Lark. It's not a very big book, it's only about 60 or so pages, and it's by John Lewis Stemple. But it's a nice little anthology all about larks, in particular skylarks. It's got a few little bits of poetry in. It's got a bit of conservation. There's something about the decline of birds, about the hunting of them. It's got a few, strangely, it's got a few recipes in. But it's just a lovely little book. Perfect to have a little sit in, and particularly when it's cold and damp outside, having a little reminder of the summer. So I definitely recommend that. Couple of other ideas though, any kind of sum involved here, but why not make a small donation to an organisation like Northumberland Rivers Trust? They've got Just Giving pages, and just even a couple of quid will actually make a big difference. A couple of quid will probably pay for two or three trees to go in to Riverside or something like that. So that's not an expensive present. And the other thing you can do is make a pledge. Make a pledge to actually go out and do some voluntary work or something like that. A day of your time on a project that's funded is actually worth between £50 to £150 in terms of match funding. It doesn't cost you anything, just a bit of effort. And I'll be honest with you, and the Rivers Trust point of view, we always have sandwiches and flapjacks. So yeah, winner both ways. Cheers.
Do remember, other charities and organisations do exist to give your time or money to, but please do get involved. There's so many benefits to volunteering, not least here with Lionheart Radio. And so, to the sound of warbirds, here's Tom with some things to be getting on with in the garden.
Ah, so the jobs for the week. And first and foremost on my list is the birds. I've got to feed the birds. They entertain me, entertain this household, and I'm sure many other households, year-round, with their antics in the garden. They're nesting, they're squabbling, they're feeding. Oh, they're just a pleasure to have them in the garden. So this time of year, for goodness sake, it's payback time. Pay them for all that service and loyalty sticking around. I've got a bird feeding station with different choices of foods on for them, and more importantly, the daily watering. That's got to be a daily job, keeping on top of that, because some mornings, place is frozen solid, there's no water for them to drink. You've got to provide it, help them through this winter. The other thing is, on my list for the coming week, I've just finished picking the last of the late indoor chrysanthemums. There's a vase in the garden room in the house in the light, and it's just a pleasure to behold these late chrysanthemums. But the tops of the plants need chopping down now and consigned to the compost heap, and rejuvenate the border. It's the greenhouse border that they've been growing in. Some have been growing in pots on the border, and in those pots there is John Innes potting compost. Now, they've used up the quite strong feeders, and they have used up most of the NPK, the nutrients in that compost. But the compost itself is a good item to be spreading on the vegetable beds or anywhere else in the garden. useful. Don't waste it. Also, I grew a few potatoes again for Christmas lunch, Christmas dinner. It's Charlotte. We had them as early potatoes. They're grown in pots in that unheated greenhouse. And they have also John Innes potting compost, spent compost. That will go on the garden as a conditioner as well. Help keep the garden soil for growing vegetables and the fruit, of course, in tip-top condition. Those are things that I've got to do this coming week. I'm also looking at pruning. Now, roast pruning doesn't appeal to everybody, I suppose, but it's straightforward. I'm fairly hard on most of my roses, although different species, different types of roses need slightly different amounts taken from them. But most of the pruning takes place between the leaf fall in the autumn, deep in the autumn, until about the point of spring. Some people locally have already pruned their roses, and some will prune them late March. On mine, pruning comes about January through to February. Any time at all, it's a frosty morning, you're treading on the soil, and it's hard soil, you're not spoiling the structure beneath. That's a good time to prune them, and of course your fruit trees, if there's any apples left to prune. So they are being pruned at the moment because I value the display of roses that I get. Beautiful, highly fragrant, such as Chandos Beauty. Gorgeous perfume, the pink one. Oh, it's just brilliant, but it's put on too much growth. I'm going to reduce it at least by half. And don't be afraid, you'll not kill the rose if you are pruning it and taking too much of it. All you do is delay the flowering. It'll happen just a little bit later than the end of June, as they flower first time end of June round here. So I'm pruning those roses. The other thing I have to prune is the birch tree. It is a silver birch at the rear of the house, Betula pendula, and I have the birch Betula jacamontii germens, which is this white-barked, so-called ghost tree, which has a super bark, but it gets too big each year on year, and I have to prune it each year. I use the prunings to support my peas and beans in the vegetable garden. They're sort of supports, so the amount I prune off every year isn't wasted at all. So I've got to get the ladders out carefully and prune those. I'm sure you can find lots more jobs to do yourself in your garden this week, whatever you're doing this week and the coming year. Enjoy your gardening.
And with the familiar sound of Auld Lang Syne by our very own Carl Cape Band playing us out, it's time for us to say ta-ra for now as we take our winter break. And you've been listening to gardener Tom Pattinson, birder Tom Cadwallander from the British Trust for Ornithology, and Steve Lowe from the Northumberland Rivers Trust. I'm Carl Steinson, and don't forget you can listen back to all the previous reports we've done on the Nature Garden Podcast. That's the Nature Garden Podcast. Enjoy your gardening and time outdoors with nature, and we'll be back for springtime. So until then, bye for now, and we all wish you a very happy new year.